David Matthew Brown is an Agape-licensed spiritual practitioner from Los Angeles. He is an award-winning poet, facilitator, philosopher, father, and the host of Inside Out, where knowing yourself is cool.
Hello, my name is David Matthew Brown, the host of Inside Out Radio, and on this beautiful, beautiful Monday afternoon out here in the City of Angels, I have the humble opportunity to interview a prolific and internationally regarded author, speaker, accomplished composer, playwright, artist, and world-renowned spiritual teacher, Swami Kriyananda. Swami, welcome to Inside Out.
Thank you very much. I enjoy being here.
Thank you. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about, there's a couple of things that I'd like to talk to you about, but the first is, what was it like when you first met Yogananda at 22?
I tell you, I was so desirous of being accepted by him that all my impressions were going outward, not inward. I was just praying mentally, you've just got to accept me, you've got to accept me. I know you know my thoughts, you've got to accept me, and I didn't have any energy left over for trying to understand or get first impressions of him. But my impressions of him very quickly formed. He was so wonderful. He was had a great, great wisdom, great love. I would look into his eyes, and I would never see any ego there. I would only see love. And yet he had also a wonderful sense of humor, and just everything about him. He was the perfect human being.
Wow.
Many things I've met in India are, they're wonderful people, but they aren't entirely people because they're too busy trying to identify themselves with God. Yogananda wore his wisdom sort of the way a man would wear a comfortable old jacket. It was a natural thing for him, and he could descend to any level and talk to people at their level. And it was just, I tell you, I spent a great deal of time with him, and I was always, in a sense, in awe of him, even in his humor, that he could be so charming. I had never met anybody so all-round perfect as he, and never have I in the rest of my life done so.
Wow. Wow, what an amazing experience.
It was. It really was.
And another amazing experience.
Go ahead. To give you an example of the kind of humor he enjoyed, he loved that saying, your teeth are like stars, they come out at night.
I love that. Oh, wonderful. I know that out here in Los Angeles, you actually will be starting a 6-week to lasting success and happiness class. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
It's going to be, I'll tell you the outline of the classes.
Sure.
Right action will be the first one. The next, how to attract what you need when you need it. Third, inspiration. Inspiration is very important for success. Most people nowadays try to go by reason. But I have found again and again that if I try to listen to my higher self, I'm not nearly so likely. In fact, I've never made a mistake that way. And then the importance of right attitude. And what is it to be practical? And then first things first. And this is condensed from a series of classes that I wrote, 26 in all. It was written because I had been in the hospital in India with double pneumonia, near death. And I was hardly conscious, and the doctor came into my room, and if you can believe it, he said, sir, can you help me? to help you.
Yeah.
And he said, I have a son in college in Canada. I have many responsibilities. And how is it possible to be successful financially and always be straight, always be honest? And I told him, I found that by rigidly adhering to right action, I had been more successful. But the trouble was, at that moment, I was not an advertisement for success. And so the next day I decided, all right, I'm going to write this course. It will be a very important course for India and also for America. I think we're coming to a Great Depression, and I think that lots of it will come from the fact that people are using wrong attitudes and wrong action in order to achieve success.
You know, when we look at right action, most of us have different concepts in our mind. Is there a specific example that you could give of right action coming from that higher place?
Okay, well, here's a good example. Back in 1976, we had a forest fire, and it destroyed 450 of our acres and burned down 21 of our homes. And this is at Ananda, a community I founded. And our neighbors discovered, it was discovered, I should say, that the cause of the fire was a faulty spark arrestor on a county vehicle. So our neighbors are all excited. They called us and said we can sue and get all our money back. And they did, and they did get their money back. But I did not feel it was right, so I wrote to the supervisors, and I said, I know that you're worried about us because we're the biggest losers in this fire. I just want you to know that we don't want to take out our bad luck on our neighbors. We will not be suing. And that's the way I've always conducted our things. We have a saying, as Ananda, two things. One is people are more important than things. And many times when people have had, even when we have had an urgent need for somebody, if we couldn't find somebody who fulfilled that role or would be helped by that role, we would not do it. And the other one is a saying in Sanskrit, yasa dharma tata jaya. Where there is right action, there is victory. And we've adhered rigidly to both of those principles.
That's beautiful. You know, I heard recently, I believe I was watching Michael Beckwith speak, and he had touched on...
I know. He introduced me at the Ford Theater last year.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. He brought up a point that was very interesting. I believe it was yesterday in service, and he said, the good always overcomes and conquers the bad, meaning that love conquers fear.
Absolutely. That's a saying in the Bible, that love, perfect love conquers fear. And it's true.
Yeah. It is, you know, it is true, and when I listen to someone like you speak, or I listen to other masters talk about it, I know that sometimes the sense, especially here in the States, is that, you know, that's threatening in some way, or, you know, it's going to take away something, or how can you be so nice, or feel like someone's walking over you in some way.
You know, I had a dream. This was several years ago in Florence, Italy. And in this dream I saw many people, maybe hundreds. And they were people of all different types, including mafiosi and every type possible. And I realized that the one thing all of them wanted was bliss. You know, we're all manifestations of God. Everybody in the world is looking to avoid pain and to find happiness. But that happiness finally translates into terms of bliss. And I realize this is the reason for loving everybody. You don't love them personally. You love them because they are manifestations of that infinite bliss. Now, if your love is personal, then you can be trampled on. If it's impersonal, nothing can touch you. So what the Bible is talking about is impersonal love.
I like that. I like that a lot. And it's beautiful, wonderful. And just so the listeners know, if you want to learn more, you want to be able to take the class, it starts Tuesday, February 1st at 7:30 p.m. in Los Angeles. You can go on www.ananda.org, and you can learn more about the class there and the cost. And if you aren't able to attend, You will also be able to take the class online, which is a thrill, I know, for most of my listeners, because most of them find themselves not only in L.A., but all over the world. So that's a blessing for each and every one of them to watch you teach in person.
I'm very glad to be doing this, and I feel that there is an urgent need for it right now.
Mm. And for you, what is that need?
Urgent?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're headed toward a great economic disaster. And I think people, if they can learn how to act rightly and act with love rather than competitiveness and aggression, that they will be able, if they act rightly even now, starting from today, they can change that karma and be spared much of the suffering. The suffering will come because of people's avarice. When people learn to be generous and honest and right, to act rightly, then the law will start turning in their favor.
Mm.
Also, I want to talk about the importance of communities. And I have founded a community which is now in its 43rd year. So we can say that we've proved our point. And it's a place of great harmony, great love, great kindness, great cooperation. It's really a wonderful thing. We have 8 communities in the world, and there are about 1,000 people living in them. I would like very much to urge people to get land in the country and get away from the cities, which, although you and I right now are both in the city, we can't help it. At least get a place out in the country you can escape to.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you also will be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo, which is one of the reasons why I have you on the show today. We have a group of speakers coming on in the next 3 weeks that will be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo. And your topic is always wonderful and pretty much the same, which is the goal of life is bliss. And you talked a little bit about that. Can you just talk briefly about what the word bliss means, what it means to you?
Okay, well, happiness is usually you are happy because you got this or did that.
Yeah.
Bliss is something that exists in itself. The nature of God is ever existing, ever conscious, ever new bliss. And that bliss is something self-existent. You don't have to have any reason for feeling it. But once you feel it, you just feel it all the time. And it's just thrilling. So the goal of life is to find that bliss which never changes. And bliss, you might say again, is the perfection of happiness.
Mm, I like that.
Happiness is always balanced against its opposite, unhappiness. There is no opposite to bliss. It is the ultimate definition of God.
Mm. Do you feel like reason has gotten us in trouble?
Say that again?
Do you feel that reason has gotten us in some of our trouble?
I absolutely do. I feel that our heart's feelings are... Actually, we understand much more with our hearts than we do with our minds. You can analyze... I say this as somebody who approached the spiritual path through reason. It was to my misfortune, but that was the only way I knew. And fortunately, my reason led me to the conclusion that God has to be the sole reality of the universe, and the goal of life has to be to become one with Him or to seek Him. But reason will tell you why, but feeling helps you become absorbed in that truth.
I bring that up because you brought up a great little point when you were talking about your talk about bliss was looking for a reason. And I know that when it comes to happiness and success or it comes to love or whatever, all these just different concepts that we seem to use, and we use them lackadaisical. We don't seem to, we're scared of our own hearts. We're scared of the bliss that you're touching on. And it comes down to that reason that we're searching for it. Like, we want happiness because there's a reason behind it, right?
Well, you know, it's all reasonable. The thing with reason is you can misuse it.
Right.
And it's very easy to prove points that are absolutely untrue.
Right.
It's not difficult at all. You know, I wrote a book called Out of the Labyrinth, and I showed how people have used reason to show that life is meaningless and there's no purpose in it and everything's relative because it's relative, there's nothing absolute in it. And I showed, for example, with the relativity of values, yes, they're relative, but in a directional way. If you put a toy gun in the hands of a child and he says, bang, 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 you're dead, you just smile. If even a toy gun in the hands of a grown-up were to be put there and he said, bang, bang, you're dead, you'd worry a little bit. And if Jesus Christ were to wake up one morning and say, I'm sick of serving humanity, I want to become a millionaire. Everybody, even the most great materialist, would say he's fallen. But if a lazy fellow were to get out of his bed one morning and say, I want to become a millionaire, even saints would applaud. So you see, values are relative, right. But they're relative in a directional way. So relativity does not mean that they're valueless. All these things, see, people use reason wrongly. That's why, if it doesn't feel right, don't trust it.
Beautiful. And if you want to learn more and you want to actually watch Swami Kriyananda speak, you can go, I believe it's on February 11th that you'll be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo. You can learn more at www.consciouslifeexpo.com. Again, you can learn more about the community and about the 6 weeks to lasting success and happiness class, which starts February 1st, and I hope each and every one of you will go online and take it or show up in person as well. You can learn more by going to www.anandala.org. Swami, this was a pleasure, and thank you so much for coming on Inside Out.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it thoroughly.
Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.